this court that ago.
Tori, he was working with FEMA in North Carolina.
Good evening, and welcome to the April 17th, 2019 meeting of the Morro Bay Public Works Advisory Board. All of the members of the board are present, so we have a full quorum. Are there any committee member announcements or presentations at this time? If not, then we'll go into the public comment period. Any members of the public wishing to address the board may step up to the podium. Seeing no members at the podium, we will continue. Item A, consent calendar. We have the approval of the minutes of February 20th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections by members of the board that need to be made? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes of February 20th, 2019?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes as stated for February 20th.
And I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. B1, business items, the director's report. We'll move that down to hand that over to Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have anything specific other than our pavement maintenance work effort for this year has been completed, and pavement coatings has completed their multi-year contract, and next year, this next fiscal year, we'll be going out to bid for a new contract on that work.
How long was that contract for originally?
It was an IDIQ, indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery, up to the first 2 years were guaranteed, and then we could extend it up to 5 years.
But you're at the end of 2 years now.
3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
But we're going to rebid the work.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We'll start to my left with Chris. Are there any questions or comments you'd like to make on the director's report?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Stephen, any more?
Yeah, I have a couple. First one's on transit. Hopefully you can answer for Janine. I noticed that they still have the three locations there around City Park. Do you see it going in one direction over the others?
Probably near the existing location. The issue with
The first one of those three pictures.
Let me get to that page. Likely. The issue with the Morro Bay Boulevard side is it is also a bus stop, a school bus stop there. Oh. And whenever a school bus stops, they put out their stop sign and traffic must stop in both directions there. And we really don't want that occurring on that Collector Street. Mm-hmm. So likely keep it on Harbor. Also Harbor better facilitates one of our major users, Art in the Park, there.
Yeah, I was going to say, because my only concern was if it was going to be on Morro Bay Boulevard only, because there's more traffic on Morro Bay Boulevard, and I just see the coming in and out of there a little tougher. So, thank you. The second, let me get to it if I can. It was.
And please indicate the page number for everyone.
Oh, okay,
thank you.
I'm digging through it here real quick. I thought it was under the new WRF, and gosh, now I'm not finding it for the life of me. I guess I should have marked it up better than this.
Well, I'm sure the chair will give you a second round if the question.
Yeah, maybe.
I was just about to offer that.
Yeah,
if you want to pause for now. So, Jan.
I was reading, starting on page on the first page on well on page three, and going through. There were lots of work done, but I didn't know where it was done, and you know, like I guess it's not important that I know where it was done, but it was just. I was trying to guess, like, where we, did we diagnose and install a new circuit board? Where did we cut off the bent part of the rack? What kind of a rack? This is on page three. Anyway, so that's, I would just appreciate knowing where this stuff is done.
So this is output from our new asset manager work order program, the comment section. So we need to work with our staff on being a little bit more explicit in how they're identifying things and working with the reports. I think based on when it was demoed to us, we could, there's a different report format that gives, because we capture a location field in the database to also output that as part of that report. So this is, we started with just putting the raw output in there, and it was almost unreadable. This is we did some manual cleanup, but we'll be working with our GIS folks on the report format, because he's an expert in crystal reports also, to get a format that's more usable.
Okay, that was one thing. And then on page 14, under collection system repairs, there's the third bullet, assessing segments for lining and pipe bursting in North Morro Bay. Is that clean water, sewer water, both waters, runoff water?
That is our collection system, so the sewer collection system, the basically the sanitary sewer in the streets. We have, you know, pipelines that are old clay lines that, due to ground movement, have cracked, and we get water infiltrating into those pipes. So we're looking at one pipes that make the best candidates for these smaller in-house repair projects that we can do, because we'll be issuing a larger contract for like the Main Street line. That's bigger than we can take on as far as lining or doing spot repairs. But there are, for example, a line off of San Jacinto that's 70 or 80 feet long and the going through some couple backyard easement areas. That's something we could handle on our own, sub out the lining work, but basically do all the excavation in-house and get it ready for a lining contractor to come in there. So
this is sort of, it's not on anything, it's just a comment I've heard from people who are against the WRF mostly, and they keep saying, well, why don't we, instead of spending the money on the WRF, why don't we repair the pipes under the street? And I'm thinking, aren't they always being repaired under the streets? Isn't that an ongoing thing?
It's a constant work effort. If we waited until we were repaired everything, the WRF would never be built, because things are degrading as time passes. Los Osos is a kind of an exception. They built a brand new collection system, so they started out with almost no I&I. It's all solvent welded PVC laterals, very tight. We don't have that luxury. We have a variety of materials out there in the system, from the stuff called Orangeburg, which is kind of paper-ish pipe, to clay, to newer ABS or PVC plastic pipe.
Well, then thank you for giving me approving of what I'm saying, because I tell people that. I think that's a thing that goes on all the time. It's just a constant thing. But anyway, so back on to page 17, the recycled water facilities. Validated operations at pressure transducers recently installed at the city's seawater wells. Why is it important to know the pressure in the seawater wells?
So the seawater wells They are brackish water wells. They're drilled into the aquifer right along the bayfront. So they're, if you drive Embarcadero north of Beach Street, you'll see on the west side of the street some concrete-looking bunker things. Those are our seawater wells there. So they're gathering pressure information. So as we pump our existing wells, we can see how the pressure changes there. That gets input into a groundwater model for calibration purposes. So we can simulate what would happen for long-term pumping if we'll get seawater intrusion. We don't want to get seawater intrusion into our aquifer. And that's part of the testing that we're doing for the IPR portion.
Okay. Thank you.
I did find the other, if I could.
Okay, we'll go back to
it's on page 17 of 17 under the conveyance facilities. And it talked about, you know, the advance of the design of the conveyance facilities. I assume this is the crosstown trunk line.
Yes.
And it says you met with the community members and business owners regarding, is it still the intent to go down Quintana for the most part?
That is the least expensive route. Is Quintana. So starting at the treatment plant area. If you know the courtyard, we have a park shed there where we keep our mowers. That's going to be about the site of the new lift station.
Oh, okay.
The pipelines will go out into Atascadero Road, east on Atascadero Road, till we get to the southbound on-ramp for Highway 1.
Oh, okay.
We'll go in the ramp till we cross over the creek with a new pipe bridge.
Oh, okay.
Dive down onto the bike path.
Okay.
Bike path to Main and Quintana.
Okay.
Up Quintana to South Bay Boulevard.
So the intent is to keep it still on Quintana.
Yes. Okay. Couple nuances to that. In the roundabout area, it will not be an open cut. It'll be either horizontal directional drilling or boring. There's just too many utilities in that area. The intersection of almost every fiber line, all the gas lines, water, existing sewer. So we're going to be underneath all that with the new.
You hope.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have to be underneath all of that. The plan is to be about 20 feet deep there.
Oh, really? You're going to have to dip that deep to get under.
Yeah.
And so when you're in the southbound lane down near Atascadero Road of Highway 1.
We'll be off more into the shoulder.
The shoulder. You will be in Caltrans.
We'll be
right?
in Caltrans.
And they're good to go with that.
They're good to go with that as long as we don't have over $1 million of expenditure in their right-of-way, and then it kicks it up to headquarters review.
Oh.
They can do everything locally if it's below $1 million in the right-of-way, which is much a shorter process. So,
You couldn't cheat it over near the roundabout and go back into their right-of-way in that?
No, because we can't keep it under $1 million.
Oh, I see. It's $1 million, not per occurrence.
In the project.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, Stu.
Good evening, Mr. Livick.
Good evening.
I noticed that some of the marks that they put in for the stop signs, they ground the pavement down on Ironwood. Some of the places, two, 3 inches, and then laid their stripe in there and so on. It makes me wonder what's going to happen when we have to do restriping on those areas. There, North Morrow has got a whole bunch of areas where they ground down and then came back and put stripes in there for the stop signs and so on. So it concerns me of when they're no longer responsible. How long are they responsible for those stripes and so on, Rob?
I think in our contract documents, we have a 1-year warranty period.
Okay. So if there's any issue with them and we identify it, then they have to come back and fix it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go look at that. 2 to 3 inches deep seems a bit deep for grinding off striping.
Yeah, they had a pretty big piece of equipment in there grinding on it. So That concerns me. There's
North Bear of Morro Bay pavement, that should be about an inch and a half into the subgrade.
If we're lucky sometimes.
So that's a concern. And if you walk around the area, which I do, there's other places where they're ground down pretty far. And then they put about a quarter inch, maybe an eighth inch stripe on it, which seems to me like it's not going to last very long with cars running over it. And so I just want to make sure that they're on the hook for this if some of it comes off in the meantime and so on.
Yeah, that thermoplastic striping generally has a life of about 2 years before you need to replace that thermoplastic. If we were just use paint there, probably a year is all you can get out of paint is generally if there's a lot of traffic on it. Now on the Embarcadero, that's a whole different story, especially at the north end where you get a mixture of sand and car tires. No striping really lasts very long there.
Are they still on the hook even though they striped?
If it's due to a material defect, they're on the hook. If it's due to wear because it's been driven on, they're not on the hook.
Okay, so they've identified what they're going to be on the hook for.
Or we have, yes.
Okay, great. So the pipe that's going to go underneath the roundabout, are they going to drill a hole all the way through it 20 feet deep and then push the pipe through? What's the process for getting?
It depends what process ultimately gets selected, whether it's microtunneling or horizontal directional drilling. Generally, the casing pipe will advance with the drill head. And it's not just one pipe that goes there. We have a 16-inch force main, a 12-inch force main, a 8-inch reclaimed water line, and a 20-inch brine outfall line. Wow. And
so
wet weather.
Is that about a 48-inch casing then?
I think 54 is what Caltrans wants to see. Okay. The trench section in the street is about a 12.5-foot wide trench section.
Is that going to shut using the roundabout there?
Well, we won't go. That's why we can't trench through the roundabout. That would basically close that entrance to the city. So that's why we're boring underneath it. The jacking and I'm calling jacking because that's what I call it, and receiving pit the receiving pit will be in the right-of-way just in front of the U-Haul, right about where the propane tank is. And the sending pit, or the jacking pit, will be over behind Morro Bay Coffee Company on Butte Avenue. And the pipeline goes, you know where that big rock is that you can't see beyond very well sometimes? It goes kind of right underneath that.
Okay, that's all I have right now.
Okay, John, welcome back.
Yeah. How was your experience?
We'll have to have a lunch someday, and
okay.
I'll kind of go through the interesting things I learned. So I took a look, and so have patience. I had a similar comment as Jan's on the... it wasn't clear which facilities they
were talking
about.
This is the first time we've done this output out of City Work, so we'll improve upon that next time and get a better description.
You think you can do a sort based on where the facility
is
located?
Yeah, we can do that.
About halfway down, you brought in some... Well, and the reason why I'm curious about that, it kind of gives me an idea of which facilities the priorities for maintenance are.
Yeah.
Are done. Worked with the CMC crews. You're talking about the Men's Colony?
California Men's Colony crews. So we get usually about once a month, we'll either use the CCC, crews, the Conservation Corps crews, or the CMC crews to help out with some, labor work.
So do you have a regular agreement with them, or is this
Yes, we have a standing agreement with them. During fire season, it's sometimes difficult to get them. So we take advantage of when it's not fire season.
So do you pay for the guards and things
like
that?
We pay for the guards, and the prisoners get also some stipend. I can't remember what the exact dollar amount is. And we pay the wages for the CCC crews.
Okay. That makes sense. Towards the bottom there, remove Liberty pump lid, clear all floating debris. Pump one has 136 hours. Pump two, which sump pumps are these?
What page are you on, John?
I'm on page three, second to the last bullet.
I believe these are the pumps at Del Mar restrooms.
Okay. All right. Last bullet. How big of a production is to get hairballs out of drains there? Because I've talked to a guy who did maintenance in Modesto, and he had his way of doing it. And there's other things which should not make that a real. There are tools you can use which reduce the unknowns when you're working on it. And I was just wondering what you guys do.
I don't have the details on hairball removal. But I know how I do it, but...
there's a tool called a Zip-It tool.
Which,
if I ever have a teenage daughter in the house, I will be getting one of those. I'm looking at page four. Streets, third to the last. You restripe sidewalk, it says. Locations would be really nice to know what you're talking about.
Oh, the crosswalks there.
Yeah.
That is either on San Jacinto. That looks like San Jacinto to me, but. Mm-hmm. That's an educated guess.
Okay.
The only place where we have yellow ladder sidewalks is on San Jacinto and around the area around Old Moro Elementary.
Okay. Page five. Regarding streets, and I sent in a few requests on or maintenance requests of things I've saw there. Like on Elm, the first week I got back, I was walking around and the pavement had heaved about 6 inches between Pico and, there was a spot where the pavement had heaved about 6 inches between Pico and in Las Vegas, and I've seen that the garbage trucks have driven over it, so it's now only about 3 inches high. But you might want to take a look at that one. There's some serious problems with the subgrade in that area. Transit, page 7, second paragraph. I was curious, how much was the cost of the contract for the focus study? Do you have a rough idea? Do you know how many hours of effort they were talking about? Or?
It's not a huge work effort. I believe it was under $20,000 for that work, including the civil work and the transportation planning work.
So there was some surveying and stuff like that included? For
I don't think they actually did any site surveying. They used existing aerial photography because this is basically a planning level study, not detailed plans and specs.
I assume that it won't take much to implement, though, since there's not too much. Or are we talking about redoing sidewalks in the areas?
We would do some flat work in the area, replace the sidewalks around that transit center where if there's any displacements. We don't have sufficient funding to do this project right now. We're looking at transit grants to fund this project, and it will take probably 2 years' worth of transit grants that are issued by our local MPO or the Regional Planning or Transportation Planning Organization, SLOCOG, to to fund the transit project. So we're probably looking 2 years out before construction would happen on this project.
Okay. Page 8.
And this will be coming back to you in as a detailed item to review in detail the options next month, along with the short-range transit plan.
Okay, thank you. Page 8, the third bullet. When the state operator makes a mistake, who's responsible for the cost for addressing those? Is that going to basically come on the ratepayers as it is, or is there any responsibility by the state operator?
There's really no. We pay for operations and maintenance for the state water system, and that's.
Do we have any management rights for making sure they're actually doing the stuff efficiently and stuff, or are we just at their mercy?
We have a. Quarterly meeting where we can see we're a subcontractor, the county is the contractor. We can express our concerns to the county regarding issues. Luckily, this issue was resolved fairly quickly, and we were able to, without much loss of water, manage the extra water that was being sent to us.
So is there any buffer water which they might be able to reimburse us with?
Highly unlikely.
Okay.
It was about 15,000 gallons, I believe, we ended up losing. And at the rate of wet water, which is all we could be reimbursed for it, about $12 an acre foot, it's almost nothing.
Okay. Yeah. That would be $120, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Submitted reports. It would be nice.
What kind of reports we submitted?
Partly that, and also if there were any, because when I kind of look at them, it's, I'm not too worried about the types of reports, but... if there were any issues identified, there you might put a little comment on there saying
okay.
No issues, or if there was an issue, then give some sort of brief description. Page 13, submitted reports, same thing, any issues? I don't imagine there were, but...
No, I usually get an email receipt when they get submitted, and it's always no exceptions taken to the report. It's basically our monitoring reports and for wastewater and our usage reports for water.
Maybe if there's no exception taken, when you say the reports there, say no exceptions by...
Yeah.
Just kind of catch them all.
That makes sense.
Page 14, Highway 41, Main, and Highway 1. I guess that's the traffic circle you're looking at.
That's one of the alternatives we're still carrying forward. We're still carrying forward the signal option, too, through PA and ED, the preliminary design and environmental section. So right now, Caltrans is... looking at the archaeological issues there, and we'll be holding probably this spring a meeting with the affected tribes to discuss the archaeological issues at that location.
Are there any known findings or sites discovered?
It's a very rich area.
Well, I know it's
a
very rich area, but is it within the project area? Are there
unfortunately, there likely will be. I'm sorry I'm being a bit ambiguous about this, but this is one of the areas we're not really supposed to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, I used to deal with that with one of my customers. That was... pavement management. What's the plan to incorporate sealing techniques not anticipated with 2011 pavement management plan? What techniques are we adding here?
So in the 2011 plan, it was a fairly conventional planning document, thin overlays, grind, reconstruct. That proved to be really unaffordable for Morro Bay. You know, we could do maybe one street segment a year if we were doing an overlay project. Working with a couple of consultants over the past few years, we've are using microsurfacing, chip seals, double layer chip, and cape seals in lieu of some of those more heavier pavement techniques. Those aren't really addressed in our pavement management plan about when they're appropriate, and we want to basically rewrite that planning document to incorporate those techniques into the document. We'll still have situations where we'll need to do, reconstructs, overlays, because while the sealing techniques are economical, they're not for every, they don't work for every street.
Yeah, I know. That brings up the question. A couple of years ago when we started this thing, you did a rebuild on, I don't know what you call it, but you did a slurry and
so that was Ponderosa Street.
Yeah.
So what we did was we did a grind, pulverized the existing asphalt, what there was left of it, recompacted, and did a cape seal on top of that. And it's held up. We've had a couple of wet seasons on it. There's a couple of drainage issues there that have caused some pavement degradation problems. But for the most part, on that low traffic street, it's held up pretty well. So we may incorporate that technique in other low volume streets.
That might be appropriate for what I've seen there on Elm between Pico and
Las
Vegas. And, okay. And I forget whether it was... is it whatever the D Street is over on North?
Dogwood.
I think I saw some severe allegations.
Yes.
Going on in that. That might be a street for that too. Can you explain the grant cycle, Riverized Asphalt grant cycle?
So it's a 2-year grant program. We're in the middle of that grant cycle right now, so the next application period is starting in January. So what we want to, and I think this will help our schedule for paving, if we put a paving or a pavement rehabilitation project out to bid in late winter of next year, when we award that contract, it should be about this time of year, and we can generally expect drier weather. Rather than awarding a contract in October, getting the contractor mobilized in November, just to have it start raining and it taking months to complete the project because they get rain days. Yeah. And we got some weathering in between layer applications that they're not responsible for because they can't control the weather. So less than perfect product. Emerald Circle was one that gave them some problems because there was some weathering of the first layer before they went over it with the chip.
Okay. That brings up, just before I went to North Carolina, I had an interesting conversation with Jennifer in finance about it's much more effective to do pavement maintenance rather than some of the things she was thinking about using some excess funds that she had identified. Did you have any further conversations with finance about alternative sources for excess funds for the city?
We make our bid for funding like the other departments do, so it ultimately gets to council and they're the decision-making body. So there are some dedicated sources of funding that we can't, that are specific for facilities, for ADA improvements. So
those are kind of untouchable. There's some general streets funding that we can use, and we have used in the past that money.
If I remember, this was almost just general.
Just general fund excess.
Basically, they paid off some stuff, and all of a sudden, they had an extra $50,000 or $60,000.
Oh, when they paid off the side note on the PERS, I believe there's some extra was extra funding available.
I was just wondering if you were able to put in.
I wasn't able to secure that funding for streets.
But you do know you. I hope you were saying this is what the cost-benefit ratio for every dollar we spent.
Yes, it's much more effective, but there's many needs within the city, and okay. Public Works is just one of them.
What's the budget for the nutmeg tank replacement?
It's probably going to be about somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million. If I had the one water plan, I could tell you more precisely, but I don't have that document with me.
Yeah, right? I seem to recall it was like 1.3 or something.
Yeah.
North Point parking lot. Is this primarily maintenance, or is there some new stuff you're doing?
New lighting improvements in the parking lot, and then some accessibility to get from the parking lot up to the bluff area. There will be a small ramp that we'll put in there, and then a guardrail or retaining, haven't finalized that design yet, retaining wall to keep folks from driving from the parking lot up on top of the bluff area, which happens occasionally.
Let's see.
In priority, as far as the assessment district folks go, their priority is the lighting there first because of activities that happen in the dark in that parking lot.
I could imagine. Imagine the police department would appreciate it, too. Sonic Restaurant. What is the effect of the traffic circle? Everybody knows where... what the potential improvements to 41 and Main Street will have on.
Yeah, their plans accommodate the traffic circle. In fact, they have a 70 square foot dedication that they need to do to on one corner of their property to fit the sidewalk in. The little corner of the sidewalk goes past, and that's incorporated in their plans. Now, I believe they're working on the corporations is developing that Sonic. It's they're working on other projects right now, other Sonics in the valley. So this hasn't been a lower priority for them from what we understand. So we haven't seen a plan resubmittal in months.
Okay. One of the thoughts which hit me is, so you have some various residential and construction projects. This is on page 16. And does any of them add curb and gutter or sidewalk?
The our municipal code does not require curb, gutter, and sidewalk in the residential zoning districts except for streets that are arterial collectors or designated pedestrian ways.
So how's that affect Greenwood?
Greenwood does require sidewalk because that's a designated pedestrian way. And most of the projects that have... there's been a little bit of hopscotch redevelopment there, so we record an agreement with the property owner against the property so that when we string a few of these projects together that require sidewalk, we'll call them due and then they'll install their frontage improvements.
Okay, and just to let you know, I still have to remember how to dodge cars as I cross San Jacinto, so... if you ever do a safety study, I'd be interested to see what happens with.
Where's that exact San Jacinto at Greenwood?
Anywhere between Main Street and.
Okay.
I mean, it's just the cars bombed down there at 45, I think, with no intention of stopping. water reclamation facility. Advanced design with continued development of the basis of design. And I had a question. Is this report, is this going to be a living document where as things are better defined, it changes, or is it going to be kind of a one-shot?
It's basically their 30% design plans. So it'll set the design, and by approving that, we'll send them on a path forward to complete the design. It's really where you want to catch all the major changes if there needs to be any in the project, because that avoids redesign work later.
Okay, then recycled water facilities. You said you continued groundwater modeling, including evaluation of nitrate levels in Lower Morro Basin. And has any real issues been identified with that area, which requires some changing of plans?
So in the Lower Morro Basin, we have existing high nitrate levels in that water supply. That's why when we use that water supply, it gets treated at our brackish water RO plant for nitrate removal before it gets put into the distribution system. Initial modeling effort shows that by adding purified water and groundwater injection reduces the levels of the nitrates below action levels. So likely, as we extract that water, we won't have to treat it, which will lower the production costs of a local water supply.
I remember you talking about that last year. So things are falling along.
Yes.
The sort of plan you expected. Third bullet is identified and planned for cone penetration tests, borings and narrows area. Is the narrows the area up there on the east of South Bay Boulevard?
No, the narrows is on Morro Creek. It's kind of behind and a little bit to the west of Miners. It's where that canyon narrows up, basically, and the rock formation underground also narrows and confines that aquifer. So the Lower Morro Basin, the city is the only one with extraction wells in that area. So what the hydrogeologist is trying to do is trying to identify the best location for groundwater injection. And there's not a lot of data on that side of the highway in the Morro Basin identifying the limits of the aquifer. So I believe it's the end of next week, Middle Earth Geotechnical will be in Silver City punching four 2-inch diameter holes in the ground to basically identify bedrock. And then the probe that they will use has some instrumentation in it to measure the resistance, moisture content of the soil. So,
are you going to collect chemical data too?
No, not with that. It doesn't grab a sample.
I've had projects where we were actually able to collect the chemical data. They perforate the thing there and with little tubes down to it, so it just goes down, and you can collect spacing on the stuff there. But okay.
Yeah, we're looking at the kind of the geophysical information mainly for that area.
So what's the current plan of getting rid of 1 million gallons a day of effluent? Where do we inject it?
Either on the west side or the east side of the highway. We've identified the preliminary modeling, groundwater modeling shows two locations that are viable for that. So right now we're doing a higher level modeling with some field verifications to refine that area. It'll also... another variable plays into that. For groundwater injection, you have to have a minimum of 2 months travel time underground, that injected water to your point of discharge. So that's what we'll be also identifying, where we can get that travel time. All indications are pointing us to the best location is on the west side of the highway, kind of along the bike path area, which is good for us because that's the lower cost area also. So So that will be, I think we're looking at probably around, I'm going to switch units here, to about 825 acre feet a year of injected groundwater. Our total water demand for the city is about a little under 1,000 acre feet a year. While this in theory could be a long-term water supply, we're on a long-term state water contract right now, so and it's a take-or-pay contract. So we're paying for state water whether we use a drop of it or not.
How many years for us to get out of the state contract?
There's 2 years that are identified in the contract. The local facilities bonds are paid off in 2023, and then the longer-term contract is 2035. The DWR is looking at changing the way agencies can negotiate that. Right now, we can only negotiate it if we get DWR's permission to do that. We can't sell water on the open market to somebody that might want water. We can only sell it back to the turnback pool. So we pay roughly, these are round numbers, $1,600 an acre foot for state water. In the turnback pool, we can sell it for $12 an acre foot, the cost of wet water. So it makes almost no sense for us to sell state water in the current scenario. It makes sense for us to use state water. And as the state changes the way we can negotiate for selling of state water, as the California Water Fix project moves forward, that will change things quite drastically, I think, in the way that state water is managed.
Okay. All right. Well, that was everything I had. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. Tori, do you have some questions?
My only question is, I mentioned earlier, and I think to Janice's point about identifying the places where the repairs were.
I see that now. I didn't, see it when I first read the report. It's quite evident that unless you deal with this on a daily basis, you have no idea what we're talking about.
That's okay. But you mentioned your asset management system. I thought I heard you say the Comet system. Is that?
I'm sorry, the Comet field.
Oh, Comet field.
This is just basically output from the Comet.
Sure.
Comet fields.
Right.
But there's many other fields that we collect data in, like locations. We should be able to report that out. Yeah. We're fairly infants with using this system. So it's CityWorks is the database system that we're using. It's a access database with a custom front end on it. Might not be Access, might be SQL, because we can have multiple seats in it at the same time.
Okay. That's all I was.
Okay. I have a few questions also. Start again back on page 4.
You want to know where these locations are?
Yeah. Well, the location of that restriped crosswalk is on San Jacinto, and at the previous meeting that I was at, I had commented about the crosswalk sign that was obstructed by a tree and curious about the trimming of the tree, and I believe that what they've done is they've moved the sign from a little west, so that's no longer behind the tree, and it's now clearly visible so that people can see the school crosswalk sign. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I noticed also on trees there at Highway 41 and Main Street, a couple of the tall trees were taken down. These were the ones I know we've talked about previously that may or may not be worked around for the roundabout. I'm guessing, did Caltrans do that, or did the city take those down for Do you know what I'm talking about? That's between Main Street and the on-ramp, the northbound on-ramp.
Oh, that would be Caltrans right away. So okay. I didn't remember a work order for trees there. So
yeah. I think there had been three really tall pine trees, Monterey pines, and two are now gone, and it's just the lone one there.
Yeah, that's work within the Caltrans right away.
Okay, maybe they're slowly taking them down, and then it won't be so difficult to design the roundabout
yes.
there. let's see. Also on trees, I screwed 1,500 light individual lights into the light sockets for the 100 strands of lights to be on Main Street. And I've commented previously, I think, about I was concerned about all of this excessive lighting, you know, being contrary to the dark skies concept. And from what I had gathered when we mentioned it, that they were going to be on just about all the blocks on Main and Morro Bay Boulevard, and it doesn't look like that's occurred.
They're only where we have city power to the tree wells.
Okay.
So they're on Morro Bay Boulevard between Napa and the block west of Main Street, so Monterey.
Market.
Morro. It's one of the M. Those three streets. And then they're on Main Street between Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor. The Morro Bay Boulevard lights go off at 10 p.m. The Main Street lights go off at 11 p.m., we reduced the wattage from 2-watt bulbs to 1-watt bulbs because it was going to be a bit much with all those trees. I mean, that would have been the equivalent of, you know, 100 watts per tree. Now we're down to, you know, 50 watts per tree. So
good. Thank you. Yeah, I drove through there finally at night because normally when it gets dark, since it gets dark so late, they weren't as offensive as I thought they were going to be. And I'm curious, the second option, rather than the cafe lights, the one that was, I guess, in front of the theater, is that simply not plugged in and is going to be replaced?
It's going to be removed and then replaced with the cafe lighting.
Okay. And let's see, also on that page, on the under streets, the hot mix, repairing the asphalt there at Main Street and Hill, for it's good to see some thickness added to that area because that's always a big lake and a nice place to hit. A little further north on the other side of the street, just before you get to Avalon, there's a drain that goes under the highway or that takes the runoff. And about 6 feet before that drain, there's quite a dip in the on the bicycle lane. So that's always a lake, even after it stops raining. In fact, I think it just dried up today. So the bicycle lane is always, you know, there's a depression there that always collects the water. If that could be graded up a little bit when you have an opportunity or take a look at it.
So this is on the southbound side of?
Yes, the southbound side, just south of Avalon Street.
Okay.
There's a drain, and it's just south of the drain. Being a biker that uses that lane quite a bit, it's always one where I have to veer out into the traffic. Okay. On page 7, on transit, you indicated that this will be coming before PWAB next month. I've had comments made been giving comments that we tend to be just sort of a rubber stamp for the consultant documents that come, and we at PWAB, we get the sort of these final documents on these plans like 5 days before it goes to City Council. So our input is rather limited, and you know, depending upon how much time you want to spend giving our direct comments to council during the presentations, they're thinking, well, PWAB is sort of useless. You know, the consultant goes out, they do these projects, the completed documents come to PWAB, and we don't really have that much input, you know, where we would possibly be, you know, very helpful to have input earlier on. And I know when you're doing it with consultants as opposed to in-house, that's difficult to do because of the added expense. So this is just some comments that I've received from people that, well, you know, we're not really that effective on these projects that come before, you know, that are coming before PWAB. We just sort of have a practice presentation for the presenter, and then 5 days later, the City Council makes their decision.
Yeah, I think with this presentation, we'll get it to you as early as we can, but I think we'll have a month in between between PWAB and Council. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And let's see. Not much more. I guess that's about it. Oh, yes. Is there going to be any joint meeting between PWAB and City Council this coming year?
I'll check with the city manager and/or the mayor and see if we have something scheduled for that.
Okay. Let's see. Are there any more questions or comments from other members of the board? Second time around, third for some people.
I just had one. I meant to ask it last month. Where's Mike Wilcox?
So he had a medical issue earlier in the year. He's back to work, so that's a good thing. So he'll be at the next meeting. A bunch of our staff have children, so it's spring break for some of them. So I let them all go, and I said I'll handle it the best. Like Gina and I will take care of this.
Page 3.
Okay.
Okay, Jan. Yeah, the second from the bottom.
Back to this one. It's under page 3 under facilities, the next to the last bullet.
Okay.
When you're talking about removing Liberty pump lid, clearing all floating debris, inspecting pumps, pump 1 has 136 hours and pump 2 has 169 hours. What does that mean?
Of hours of runtime. So it probably means almost nothing in this type of report.
Yeah.
It's not valuable information to you.
Okay, I was wondering, is this what's left that it can pump?
No. This is what the runtime has been on those pumps. So we have a sewer ejector pump at the Del Mar bathrooms to pump the sewage from the bathrooms into the main line. And they alternate with each other. And we gave you some information that's difficult to use. And this whole section needs to be reworked. I'm glad everybody mentioned something about it.
It gives the city an idea of when maintenance is going to be required for the pumps.
Now, how much time it's been used.
Okay. Thank you.
And relative to how long a time period doesn't really help anybody either. So we'll work on that to give the board and the public information that might be of value rather than reporting hours of pump runtime.
Thank you. Thank you.
I apologize for that.
Any further questions on this side? Okay, I would like to make one more.
We do have an annual tour of city and parks facilities generally in the summertime. We're thinking about that for our June meeting, to do a joint meeting with the Recreation Commission to do that. So somewhere around the middle of June, maybe the longest day of the year-ish time. But we'll let everybody know. Also, the May meeting will need to be adjusted. May meeting occurs on Amgen Day, and will be pretty busy that day. I think this room has some volunteer activities that happen in it, so they may not be able to get it ready in time.
Do you have any
likely
any idea where you might move
I think
it to?
The facilities were available for the last Wednesday of the month in May.
Okay.
But Janine's confirming that, and we'll send out a quorum check to make sure folks are available.
Thank you. Well, let's see, one more comment. Everybody that got a utility bill got this nice utility discount notice, and I hope people take advantage of that, people that are qualified. And it's nice to see that the city is making it very clear as to, that the discount program is available for people.
Yes, because it will, new rates go into effect this July, and it will appear on your August bill. And we not only have the old rate schedule that will go into effect, the new WERF surcharge will also go into effect this year. So there will be a lot of advance warning to that. I know there will be a utility bill flyer and information on the city's website, maybe something on the radio station. We'll get some time with Dead Air Dave and get that information out there, because this will be probably the most significant increase of all the rate increases that have happened so far.
So there will be a rate increase plus the surcharge?
Yes, they both occur this summer.
So it's going to, okay. So the numbers that they've been telling you, that a family for five, the average bill?
Of five units will be...
That was with the $41 surcharge, but you're saying there's going to be a rate increase?
That's with both of the rate increase. So the five-unit water, combined water sewer bill will be $191 per month.
Great. Thanks for the additional information there. Going back to the comments that I started about the content of PWAB material, the lighting project on these trees, that seemed like something that would have normally in the past been something that would have come to PWAB as part of the process before final decisions were made, so that they would be able to have comments like that. I know we heard about it in your director's report, which are always very full, but is not really getting our advice on the ground basis. I think that's. I just wanted to add that as sort of an example, things that aren't necessarily out to just the consultant things, but projects like that deal with public works, that it would be helpful if community members and the board members would be able to look at a project, say, okay, this is coming forward, what are your thoughts on it? My previous experience 20 years ago on PWAB seemed to have more of that, where we were able to get some initial input in before things were sort of set into motion. So just wanted to add that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's no other questions or comments, we'll go to item C, which is future agenda items. Rob has already talked about the June meeting and the possibility of the May meeting being shifted because of room availability. Do you see anything being on the May meeting besides the transit?
Likely will just be the transit and the director's report. Perhaps the capital budget, capital projects list will come forward. It will be, again, late in the game because council will like, and CFAC will have likely already seen it once, but the goal is to get our capital program to PWAB earlier in the year. But that means we need to start our budget process much earlier in the year.
Great. Okay. Jan?
Rob, when we're talking about the Highway 41 intersection and the price that was thrown out and part of it's a state and we have to come up with matching funds, is that coming from Morro Bay or is that coming from Slocock?
So there is no state money in this project.
Okay.
It's Slocog discretionary funds, about $3.5 million, and these projects require a 50% match, so we'll need to come up with $3.5 million total. We've spent some money. I'm not sure where that money is coming from. And to be honest with you, if we had $3.5 million, would we spend it there? Are there other needs that need to be spent on? I think it's something that we have to take a real hard look at, that project. And perhaps, I've already started talking with the consultant about this, perhaps there's some interim improvements that we could do there that are less costly that I know ultimately a signal will fail there because there will be too much traffic to it. Mm-hmm. It may buy us 15 years, though. And a signal is significantly less expensive than a roundabout. So we're just going to have to make those hard choices and spend our money, you know, the limited funds that we have wisely.
You would still get money from Slocog, though, that we would
yes.
have the money from Slocog if you did the signaling?
Yes, and we might get over half if we reduce the scope of the project.
Okay.
The region wants to see some improvements there too. You know, it's a major state to state route. Caltrans just hasn't seen anything that makes them want to provide funding for the intersection.
It's one of those things, probably until someone is killed at that intersection, then it will move up the list.
Well, if we look at the 4641Y, it's getting tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. That is a very sometimes dangerous intersection to navigate because of the way people drive there.
All right. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank all of the board members and all of the staff for all of the work they've put in this evening and for this meeting. And if there's no other comments, then we will adjourn to May meeting to be determined. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. We already adjourned. We have set the May meeting for